Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This Sukkot, okay, it was the first Sukkot. I didn't build a sukkah in here at home. And I built our sukkah at the junction next to Yuli Edelstein house. The main thing we shouted was 50 years ago, in October 73, we had a disaster. And what we wanted to say is, let's stop the 2023 disaster before it happens. And what is unbelievable is that on Thursday evening, we went home from the sukkah, and on Shabbat we had the biggest catastrophe we could even imagine.
Hey listeners, it's Mishi. So as you know, during these incredibly difficult days, we're trying to bring you voices we're hearing among and around us. These aren't stories, they're just quick conversations. Or postcards, really, that try to capture slivers of life right now. For months, Sivan Avneri, a physical therapist from Kfar Shmaryahu, was active in the Mecha'a, the demonstrations against the judicial reforms. That's why he built his sukkah outside the house of Yuli Edelstein, one of the senior members of the Likud party, and the chairman of the Knesset's Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee. Like hundreds of thousands of other Israelis, he felt he was fighting for his home, for the nature of his country. He had no idea how true that was about to become. On Saturday morning, October 7th, Sivan received a message which is every parent's worst nightmare. His 18-year-old son Tal was, unbeknownst to him, at the Nova party in Re'im, and was now fleeing for his life. Without a second of hesitation, Sivan knew exactly what he needed to do. Our producers Yael Ben-Chorin and Alexandra Muller bring us his story. Adina Karpuch edited this piece.
My name is Sivan. I'm 50 years old. We have five kids. As a soldier, I was at the paratroops. And since then, the last 29, almost 30 years, I was serving the reserve army.
Can you walk us through the events of Saturday?
We were here at home. Tal, our son, told us that he's going camping with friends. He didn't tell us anything about a party. We woke up at, it was a couple of minutes before 8 o'clock, we got a telephone from Amit, Tal's oldest brother. He was dancing in another party, and Tal called him and told him that there were shootings around the party he was at. Amit didn't understand. He called us. Tal didn't call us because he didn't tell us at first that he's going to a party. So he called his brother, and Amit woke us up. At the first minutes, we thought that Tal is imagining, you know. Oli, my wife, told Tal, "Tal, you're imagining. There's nothing is going around. Everything's fine." Since there were sirens, Oli told him something like, "There might be explosives in Gaza." I asked Tal to send us his location, And when we saw where he was, we were sure that he heard something from the Gaza Strip or from the border. And we couldn't believe that someone was shooting at him. I called the police. The policeman sent me like a link to the police site to upload Tal's location. And he said, we will take care of it. It took us another couple of minutes texting Tal to understand that something bad is going on. We had no idea how bad was it. No one had. Since I understood that no one can help him, I knew that I have no other option. I just knew I have to. 10 minutes later, I told Oli, okay, so I'm jumping into the car, driving south, getting closer to Tal. I took a helmet, some water, a backpack, and I took my gun with my shoes in my hand and ran to the car. I thought there was like a terror attack or something on this camping site he was supposed to be at. I was driving like crazy. I'm still waiting for all the tickets to get from the highway. And then he called me, told me the Hamas found them and started shooting in them again. Whomever got out of this place, they ran all over. From this point, Tal was all alone. He asked me, should I keep running? Should I hide somewhere? Should I? I didn't really know what to tell him. I felt like under such a pressure. I knew that I have another hour, more than hour, until I will get to him. It was like I was so stressed. The only thing was in my head, I should get to him before they will. I told Tal, listen, it's going to take me some time. You must find a place and hide. I told him, find a bush or find something, scroll under it, and don't get out until you hear my voice. When I got to Netivot, I met some policemen. It was such a surrealistic picture to see like six policemen standing with their guns, with a pistol in their hands, looking west to the Gaza Strip and like waiting for the Hamas to come. I went to an officer over there. I told him my son is inside. I must get there. He told me, listen, you're not going anywhere. There's a war out there. You can join us, stay here. He asked me to park my car at the parking area and join them or something like that. I jumped into my car and started driving west to the area Tal was. Since I am or was a warrior, help me. Okay, it was not the first time I was being shooted at. It was not the first time I was running when there are bombs falling around. As I got closer, I heard shooting. Qassam was falling all around. Kibbutz Be'eri was burning. Like the sky was full of black smoke. And I understood that something big is going around, but I was so focused about Tal, everything around, I moved it to the side. I didn't think about anything beside getting to the place he was. I saw a guy on the side of the road, injured. I told him, wait here, I'll be back to take you. And I drove like another 200 or 300 meters, stopped the car. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know if I can horn with a car or shout, or I didn't know where the Hamas is. Since I sent Tal my location as well, like live location, so he saw that I arrived. First he saw my car, but he was not sure it's mine. Since he saw the Hamas with the pickups and the jeeps, Only after I got out of my car and started running, he went out of the bushes. I won't forget this moment. Till the last day I will live. He was so cute. He went out, you know, with a hat on his head and a backpack, just like he went to a trip in school when he was 8 years old. I hugged him for like 2 seconds and then throw him into my car and say, let's go. Tal says, it was the longest hug he ever had. But we understood we have to get out of there. So we jumped into the car and ran to the injured guy to pick him up and take him with us. After 200 or 300 meters, we saw hundreds of people walking in the fields, injured people dragging each other. It was an awful picture. It was, I couldn't believe. Like, the fields were full of hundreds of people, you know, dressed up from a trans party. It's the Negev, it was hot. They were out of water. When we got to Patish, Patish is a religious village. There was no one out on the streets. We met one guy. I told him we need help. We asked him to open Bet Ha'am and to open the mini market, to bring some water to take back in with us. We knew that there are like hundreds of people on the way. Since it was Shabbat, people were getting out of the synagogue. We asked for some help. We asked for people who has pickups to bring their cars. And when we got back to the area, we saw a lot of people coming, running and walking out of there. The guys from Patish were like putting on their trucks 20, maybe 30 injured people on each one of them. And an hour later, Beit Ha'am was like full of people. The people of Patish went out of their houses, brought food and water. And two medics who lived there, they opened like treating a corner. It was only citizens taking care of everything. It was unbelievable the way they were full of sirens around. You know, like every 5 minutes, everybody's laying down, and a couple of minutes afterwards, getting up and keep on working. We got home at the afternoon. Everyone was here, all the family. And since then, all of us thinking how lucky Tal was, and we were, all of us, and how bad it could have been for us, and how bad it is for so many other people and families. The kids knows like dozens of people who got killed. At the first week, we were sitting here, all of us, running from funeral to funeral. I think it's very important for Tal to know that Daddy came to save him. Oli, my wife, she says that the only thing that she could think or say on this morning of Shabbat was telling Tal that Tal Abba is on the way. Tali's 18. He's joining the army in like 6 weeks. He saw horrible things. And we are asking, is it right? Is it good for him? So we went consulting with a psychologist about the way Tal should handle, we should handle with him. And Tal says that he wants to go to the army now. He thinks that it will be good for him to get a sense of safety, to get self-confidence.
Have you gotten any help since that day?
I went to meet a psychologist from work. I work in a hospital. After 2 hours, she told me that I'm okay, that I went through a trauma, and the way out of it is not easy. I find myself crying 50 times a day. I think today maybe it was 45, so I'm getting better.
ילד של אבא, על מה אתה חולם? מה בוער לך בלב? וכמה טוב שבאת, ביחד זה שלם. בעיניים שרואות הכל, אין שום דבר כואב. שנים זולגות כמו מים, ישר לשום מקום. לרוץ רחוק, להיות קרוב. יום הופך ללילה, ולילה שוב ליום. להחזיק חזק ולעולם לא לעזור, כי זמן לא עוצר. הוא אף נשרף מסך השן. היה לאילן, תפוס ירח שוט על ענן. וזה הזמן שלך לזרוח ולדעת ולגעת בהכל. לטרוף את העולם, אל תפחד ליפול. ילד שלי, הכל מחכה רק לך. ואבא כאן תמיד לחבק ולשמור אותך. עד סוף העולם אני לא עוזב אותך. ילד שלי, לך רק בדרך שלך. ילד של אבא רואה בך אותי, את הילד שהייתי בעצמי. וכל מה שקורה לך מרגיש כאילו לי. ללמוד שוב מחדש מה אני ומי. קדימה והלאה, הכל נמצא בך. וכל יום חדש הוא הבטחה. בעולם הזה יש צער כמו שיש שמחה. תן לאהבה שלך להוביל אותך. כי זמן לא עוצר, הוא אף נשרף מסך השן. היה לאילן, תפוס ירח שוט על ענן. כי זה הזמן שלך לזרוח ולדעת ולגעת בהכל. לטרוף את העולם, אל תפחד ליפול. ילד שלי, הכל מחכה רק לך. לחבק ולשמור אותך. עד סוף העולם אני לא עוזב אותך. ילד שלי, לך רק בדרך שלך. הזמן שלך לזרוח ולדעת ולגעת בהכל. לטרוף את העולם, אל תפחד ליפול. ילד שלי, הכל מחכה רק לך.
לחבק ולשמור אותך עד סוף העולם, אני לא עוזב אותך ילד שלי, לך רק בדרך שלך.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.